Good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Last week, Pastor Reynolds brought a lesson on Christian values. Now, during this lesson, he brought out how many people struggle with their kids or their spouse, and they want their kids to have Christian values, but unfortunately, many times the parents or the spouse don't actually pursue Christian values themselves. They don't avoid sin themselves. They don't go to church themselves because they're too busy living their lives. The verse Pastor Reynolds mentioned last week was Psalms 46, verse 10, which states, "Be still and know that I am God." He also pointed out that the book of Proverbs is a great book to read for a better understanding of how we should be living our lives day to day. Now this week, Pastor Reynolds will bring a lesson on the weariness of sin. And if you have your Bibles, please look up 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 7 and 8.
I want to speak this morning concerning the weariness of sin. You know, sin really wears people down. It wears you down. It wears me down. That's the way sin is. Sin really makes people tired. Listen to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 and verse 8. The Bible says here, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You know, Lot was a saved man, but Lot did a very foolish thing. Lot moved his family into the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah simply so he could make a living. There, the extraordinarily wicked sinners caused Lot and his family to forsake the worship of God and to suffer the consequences of that sinful lifestyle. Listen, sin wears people down. Sin makes people tired. Sin really takes all of your strength away. The Bible says here concerning Lot that he was a just man. The Bible said he was a righteous man. He was a holy man. He was a man of God, but that didn't do him any good at all because he was worn down with the filthy conversation, that is, the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. The Bible says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed," that is, that Lot tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, you would think that Lot and his family, they seemed to be doing okay spiritually and materially as long as they stayed with Abraham and his family. It was when that separation took place that there was a vast difference between Lot and Abraham. They had a dispute over grazing land for their cattle. Lot and Abraham separated, and Lot looked and Lot chose for himself the well-watered plains of Sodom. Day by day passed as Lot moved his family closer and closer to the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, until finally he moved his precious family. Lot moved his little children into the heart of the city. Lot was very active in the government of the city. Genesis 19:1 records that when the two angels came to Sodom at the close of the day, Lot was sitting in the gate of the city. This indicates that Lot was a partner in the governing body of the city. Lot really knew better, but Lot did not do better, and he paid a terrible price for associating with and finally giving in to sin. All of Lot's children, except two daughters, and all of his in-laws were killed when God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone from heaven. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the clear command of God when God commanded that they should not look back. But she did look back. The Bible states that Lot got drunk on two different occasions and committed incest with his daughters that were not killed in Sodom. What really happened, though, to Lot? You know, Lot was a man who began well. Lot was a man who traveled with Abraham. He probably heard Abraham pray and speak of God's goodness and blessing. But somewhere along the line, Lot started to go the wrong way. What happened to Lot? You know, the answer is very simple. All of Lot's difficulties began when Abraham and Lot separated. Lot went away from righteous Abraham and began to make his own decisions. Decisions that eventually destroyed his entire family and made him a bad example. You might ask this question, what has all of this got to do with me? Well, just take a look around you. Look at all the sin that is in the world. And look at how sin is accepted. The question is this, are you accepting sins that you have formerly rejected? Are you laughing at jokes that you previously scorned? Has your lifestyle changed to include wickedness that at one point you rejected? To really get to the heart of the matter, are you now watching television programs that laugh at sin? Do you sit and stare at perverse television programs while the laugh tracks show their approval? Have you been numbed to sin? To find out if what happened to Lot is happening to you, then answer these few questions about what is taught on many television programs. Is premarital sex right, or is it wrong? Number two, does God in His Bible approve or disapprove of homosexuality? What does God say about it? Number three, is cursing and swearing acceptable under certain circumstances, such as times of high stress and times of difficulty? Number four, is sin funny? Is sin really something you can laugh at? I don't think it ever is. I ask these four questions not to be offensive, but to arouse curiosity about what is being accepted today and really what you are accepting. The lesson is very clear that we need fellowship and companionship with other children of God. Believers have always needed Christian fellowship, and we are not any different. The thing that we need to remember is that we need fellowship with God first. And after we have fellowship with God, then we can have fellowship with others. Listen to what Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 states. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." That's Genesis 2 and verse 18. You know, God knew that it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so God made him a godly companion. God knows how important that it is for us to really have godly companions. When a husband and wife work together for the good of the family will survive and prosper. When the husband and wife go their own separate ways, the family will be slowly and systematically destroyed. One of the reasons that Christ started His kind of church during His own personal ministry was to give His disciples companionship with other believers, and we all need that. God knows what we need. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30, the Bible states, "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except the rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut him up. Now notice this again. How should one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight? Notice, it is plainly stated in this verse that one person, by the power of God, is able to chase 1,000, but two people, by the power of God, will be able to chase not 2,000, not even 3, but 10,000. You see, there is strength in numbers, especially when God is present. Now, it is a grand thing to meet together with the people of God, to worship Him and receive the strength He offers. I know we can worship at home. I know you can read your Bible at home. I know you can learn at home. Actually, if you don't worship God at home, if you don't read your Bible at home, you will not be ready to worship or learn when you attend church services. You see, meeting together with the people of God gives additional strength to fight the battles of life and stay true to the teachings of God's holy word. If you really want and you need additional strength, then read the Bible. The Bible states in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There's strength in numbers. There's things that two can do that one might find pretty difficult, but two can do it very easily. But we do live in a very wicked world. We live in a world that has gone away from God. You see it on every hand. The Bible is still true when it says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." You know, if you want to know how to raise your children, if you want to know how to treat an employer that is treating you wrong, then you need to read the Bible. If you are an employer and you have employees, in order to treat them correctly, you need to read the Bible. It'll tell you how to do all that. If you're simply tired of sin, if you're tired of seeing and hearing all the wickedness in this world, listen, you're invited to do something about it. You may not be able to erase all the dirty talk on television, but you don't have to watch those programs. You may not be able to stop crime waves, but you don't have to commit crimes. You may not be able to stop the downward spiral of our society into the depths of filth and depravity, but you can stay away from that filth and declare to others that such activity is wrong and will lead them to sin and suffering that accompanies sin.
And it's amazing to me how we can get so far away from God and where He wants us to be. But in our minds, we haven't really changed that much. You know, it's often because the change is slow. We accept something today, and later we accept something else, and something else, until we look up one day, and we are living totally different than we should be, and totally different than where we were. And many times, it's those little changes over a long period of time that gets a person away from God, and in the end, ruins their testimony with their friends and family and coworkers. You know, and it is a good practice to occasionally stop, take stock of your life, take stock of the actions that you're performing, and make sure you're not slowly slipping off into wickedness. You know, every week we invite you to attend services with us at Independence Baptist Church. And that invitation is an open invitation. We'd love for you guys to be able to stop by. If you would like to take us up on that, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We'll be starting services this morning at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services. And then this afternoon, we'll have a prayer meeting at 3:45 and worship services at 4:30. Well, I see that our time has once again slipped away from us, but before we close out, we want to thank you for listening and ask that you join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.